My fellow Pennsylvanians, this is Ed Martin speaking to you from the nation's capital and bring you another discussion of happenings in Washington. I want to talk to you about Social Security. This is one of the most important of all subjects to millions of our workers, to millions of their dependents, and to those past the age of 65 who have retired to live on the benefits. The federal Social Security law came into being in 1935. Naturally, as with any new law, the test of time and operation pointed out its weaknesses and strong points. Some glaring weaknesses were shown up. Some drastic changes were indicated. Today, we are working on the first major revision since 1939. Last year, the House of Representatives, by an overwhelming vote of 333-14, passed a bill to amend the old Social Security Act. The new bill would extend Social Security coverage to about 11 million people now not covered. It offers coverage to millions of self-employed men and women in certain classifications who are not provided for in the original Act. It provides an average increase of 70% to present beneficiaries and to a new category to cover total and permanently disabled persons regardless of age. Other new provisions would give a wage credit to veterans of World War II for time spent in service. It would include state and local government employees on a voluntary basis. Also, it would increase the total annual earnings on which contributions are made by employees and employers from $3,000 to $3,600. At the very end of the 1949 session, the bill was sent to the Senate. Early this year, the Senate Finance Committee, of which I'm a member, went to work on the bill. We held almost daily hearings for 9 weeks. 275 witnesses appeared before us. They presented a great variety of views and opinions. Many were experts on various subjects. They include representatives of state governments and officials of state and national organizations. Many citizens testified as individuals, offering their own ideas on Social Security. Our committee heard them all. In addition, we received for study and consideration about 250 briefs and statements, and thousands of letters from all parts of the country. So you see, this matter is receiving deep and detailed consideration from the Senate Finance Committee. We've finished our hearings. Now we are meeting regularly in executive session to study the vast mass of information and to consider such changes as the committee members believe would make the bill stronger and better. As I have stated before, I believe in Social Security legislation for our older citizens and to protect the surviving widows and dependent children of workers. So naturally, I am for the principle of the law and will vote for the measure as finally drafted. But in the meantime, it is my intention to fight and fight hard to make this the strongest and soundest possible system. That, my fellow Pennsylvanians, will be a tough battle, and I'm afraid it'll be a losing battle, for I believe that Congress will refuse to take the all-out step necessary to make our Social Security system basically sound. Let me tell you now what I think is wrong with the system and what should be done to rebuild it on a firmer foundation. First, I want to point out the difference between the federal system and the kind operated by the great insurance companies in which many of you have policies. When you take out an insurance policy, the company puts your money to work in productive enterprise. Let me repeat, productive enterprise. It also sets up a reserve fund to meet emergencies and to guarantee enough cash to pay out benefits to you in the form of an annuity and an endowment, or to your survivors if you die. In general, the payments made by the policyholders each year are sufficient to cover the needs of that year and to build protection for the future. But this does not happen under the federal Social Security system. The money taken from your weekly pay envelope and the money paid by your employer is not handled that way by Washington. Instead, this is what happens. Your money out of your payroll goes to the Social Security Board. Then Uncle Sam dips his hand into the till, takes the money out, and spends it for the high-priced business of running the government. He leaves an IOU in the till. It is a bond, paying 2.5% annually. At present, about $10 billion of your money has been removed and the 2.5% IOUs left behind. Well, you might say, that sounds like a good, sound investment, 2.5% on your money from the government. But first, consider this. Where will Uncle Sam get the 2.5% interest? The same place he gets all of his money, by taxing you and the other citizens of this country, including those who are not covered under the Social Security law. Keep in mind that when you pay your money into an insurance company, it is invested so as to produce earnings. But Uncle Sam has no earning capacity. He can use only what he takes from the people in taxes or borrows from your savings. Now a lot of people start reaching age 65. They're paid into the fund for years. They want their Social Security benefits. How do they get them? Well, remember that the bureaucrats in Washington have spent the payroll contributions. Nothing is left in the till but IOUs. So your government has to get the money to pay your Social Security benefits by levying taxes against all the people. The man who is over 65 and is no longer employed is taxed to pay part of the cost of the Social Security benefits he thought he was paying for during his younger working years. The man under 65, making his own Social Security payments, is also taxed to pay part of the older man's benefits. Both categories are, in fact, paying twice for their Social Security. They were promised by their government that they would only pay once, but they are paying twice. I believe that system is wrong, unfair, and unsound. We can and we should put our Social Security system on a sound, solid basis. And I say this emphatically, most emphatically. If our federal Social Security system is to survive, sooner or later, we must put it on a sounder basis than it is today. Let me explain that. Today, about 35 million active workers pay contributions into the fund in an average week. About 2,700,000 are receiving benefits. That means much more money is going into the fund than is coming out each year. So there's plenty left over for Uncle Sam to take from the till, leaving behind those IOUs. But this picture is changing. More and more of our people are reaching the age of 65, the age at which Social Security benefits begin and are living on many years afterwards. In 1935, when the Social Security law was passed, there were only 7,800,000 persons over 65 in the United States, and none of them was entitled to a nickel of benefits. Today, there are 11.5 million. By 1975, according to the government statisticians, there will be 19 million persons over 65 living in the United States, and most of them will be on Social Security. That means that more and more must be paid out until the amount going out will exceed the amount coming in. The Social Security Administration statisticians have estimated that 50 years from now, in the year 2000, the annual benefit payments will run from $13 billion to $20.5 billion per year. Non-governmental experts, also estimating the cost for the year 2000, say these figures are ultra-conservative. The non-government experts say they will go over $30 billion a year. Well, the system will be in trouble long before that. Billions a year must be paid out, and there'll be nothing in the cash drawer but those IOUs. So billions of dollars in new taxes will have to be levied on the American people each year to meet the cost of the payments. After a time, these taxes will become oppressively heavy. Then and there, the system will break down. So I repeat, we must have the best possible Social Security system. We must have a sound system. One that will survive. Such a system must have real reserves and real money at work. I believe that a system, actuarially sound and on a pay-as-you-go basis, should be created for managing the money paid into the federal security system. Otherwise, there is grave danger that this social security system will not be able to keep its promise to pay to you and your children in your old age. Yes, I'm for social security, and I want our system to be made as sound and solid as it can be done. At the beginning of my talk, I mentioned to you that the Senate Finance Committee heard the testimony of 275 witnesses. Some of them represented the splendid retirement funds maintained by school teachers, policemen, firemen, and other groups of state and municipal employees. You will be interested in what they testified. The bill which passed the House of Representatives provides that all state and local employees may voluntarily come under the federal Social Security system. Let me assure you that these groups want no part of the system, and for the reason I've mentioned above. You see, most of these firemen, policemen, and schoolteacher funds are set up on an actuarial basis. Their retirement systems are built upon soundly invested funds. They fear that political pressure in their home states might force them to get into the federal system. So they came to us. They urged and begged our committee to eliminate from the bill the language which might result in forcing them into what they say is an unsound pension system. For years, I have been fighting for national solvency as the best and strongest defense of the American system of government. A government that is not sound financially can give no assurance that its citizens will enjoy any kind of security. Freedom of the individual cannot be maintained in a nation which spends beyond its income year after year. The government's promise of security is of no value whatsoever if those in charge of its affairs take a wasteful, spendthrift course which must end in national bankruptcy. If we are to have a strong social security system, we must first return to strong, sound fiscal policies. That means we must put an end to deficit financing. We must balance the budget. We must put an end to wasteful and extravagant spending that means higher taxes and bigger debt. Above all, we must stand firm in opposition to every socialistic nation, to every socialistic nation, to every socialistic nation, to every socialistic nation, to every socialistic scheme that promises scheme that promises scheme that promises scheme that promises use because they mean 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 to the future of the America, the future of the American. Martin, speaking to you from the Martin, speaking, I will nation's capital, I will nation's capital, I will nation's capital, I will nation's capital, I will